All right, I am going to try something, because I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I'm really, really tired of the conversation we keep being stuck on for the last 2 to 3 years. And over the last several Mondays, I've started to hear something like in what people are saying that I believe is definitely contrary to what Roger has been saying. Then it's as simple as I heard last week some people hanging on, like what I took to be hanging on to some continuing self, and I believed that what I was hearing with the words that they were saying and the things Roger was saying not match up. So I mean, anyway, I feel like we've been talking about this thing since 2013. So I'm hoping that what I can present tonight will get everybody on the same page with a new idea. And the way I'm going to do this is I intend to say some things that Roger will say are incorrect. I mean to violate anything that he said. I'm giving you my take on something.
That's incorrect.
What?
I'm not going to say it's incorrect.
Okay. But I'm doing this just to try to get something new.
As long as you let him know you're doing it, you can do anything you want to.
Yeah, this is my idea. Right, this is my take on some things. And I want to see if, you know, if I have a kind of a simple mind. So if we do something, just like take a pass at it real quick, then see if it works. If it doesn't work, we can correct it later. Anyway, and just as a disclaimer, so for me, of course, my idea, I'm not saying Roger approved this, and I'm not saying this is the way life is. So I think everybody can kind of relax. Just hear out a story about how life might work. Are we clear on that?
Sure.
Yep. Okay. Are you okay with that, yep. Roger?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so here's a little story to ease us into this, all right? Right, so it kind of goes back to like 2013, maybe about the time we started talking about all this stuff. But did anybody ever see a movie called Oblivion? It's starring Tom Cruise. Anybody ever see that movie?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, good. Well, I won't tell you the entire story, but this is a spoiler. And I am spoiling this one part of the movie because I think it could help us get an image of something that I'm trying to share here. And this is it. The character that Tom Cruise plays, his name is Jack. And Jack is living his life doing a certain job in a certain restricted region that he's responsible for. And one day, he breaks the rules and he leaves his zone to go save this girl that he just met, but he's in love with, and he doesn't know why. And as he crosses into this other zone, which he's not supposed to go to, he runs into this other Tom Cruise, this other Jack, who is just as capable and resourceful and intelligent and passionate as he is. And so they fight, whatever, they fight. They don't know why, who each other is, but they are suspicious and they fight. And our Tom Cruise, our Jack, number one, he prevails. And he gets away with a girl. Now, as the movie goes on, he learns from this girl that he's actually a clone of this original guy named Jack, who was her fiancé. And she informs him that an alien had captured their ship and cloned Jack, the original Jack, over and over and over and over and over to create an army to serve its purposes. Whatever its purposes are. Now, he realizes in this conversation with her that he is not her fiancé. But he remembers every feeling, every dream that they shared. He has every memory, every trait, every propensity, every talent, every attitude that this guy has. He absolutely remembers everything she remembers. And she assures him in that he's every bit the original Jack that he remembers. And they are in love, just the same as the original two were. Anyway, later on in the movie, our clone Jack dies. And as the movie goes on, she's still alive and she's, you know, settling into her new life. And then the second Tom Cruise that they encountered out in the other zone, he shows up looking for her. He's one of the many Jack clones. And he can't get over her from their initial encounter in the desert. He has to know who she is. And so then she realizes that this Jack, too, is also every bit the person that her original fiancé was. Though it's not actually him. For all intents and purposes, it's every bit him. Okay, end of story. Any questions on that?
No.
Nope.
Am I going too fast, Simone?
Pardon?
Okay. I just want to know if I'm going too fast.
You could slow down.
Okay. So anyway, the way, now I'm going to switch gears here to something that, the way I was going to try to get everybody on the same page is to review or to go over something and leave a lot of stuff out. I just want to give a skeletal framework of what my story of loner self, eternal self is. And I'm discarding a lot of things that Roger usually puts in. Not going to deal with them. Because for me, anyway, they've been confounding. So the very basics to get across as, you know, from my picture is this, that no matter what we call it from week to week, all beings are loner beings, and all beings, if they exist, are mortal loner beings. There's no such thing in the universe as something that's different than a loner being or a loner self. All beings are loner beings. And to make no mistake and be not confused, be very clear about that. It's a loner, mortal loner being. Okay, all loner beings are created by parents or some other naturally occurring process, but let's say parents. And these loner beings live out their lives, and they die, and they're gone, and they're finished. They're a once-in-a-history occurrence and never repeated again. Well, we people don't like that because we seem to have the ability to conceive of life and even conceive of ourselves existing beyond just this present embodiment. So though we do not survive past this present embodiment, though we die at death, we seem to be able to conceive of living on after the body dies. In the same way we can imagine a future or imagine what we'll do in the future, though that future doesn't exist, we can conceive of it. And so then we all, in fact, we can conceive of this so well that we even feel different from the body that we're in. We don't feel that, we feel as if we're a different self than the body that this self is occupying. Okay, but again, to be very clear, to me, what I'm saying is that these beings are mortal loner beings that die and do not continue and don't return, just for the sake of getting that across. So just sit there for a second. Okay, but we can conceive of something beyond life. So then this idea of going on after death has come up. The idea of an eternal self comes up. So, you know, where does the eternal self come from? The eternal self is a loner self that has been eternalized. Just like every self, an eternal self begins as a loner self, okay? And if you say that it begins as a loner self with parents, you've now got a knowable beginning that being has control of from that point on, no matter where it started in history. Then the concept of continuing or living on after death is only whether this loner being is aware of having lived before. So an eternal being is only one that is aware of having lived before. So the basic simple concept is that all eternal beings are loner beings. They've only been transfigured or regenerated. The way they did that was they have this awareness of continuing because they live as though or as if they are eternal. So much so that they make different choices, they make different actions that are different in quality, different in nature, different in fact than the actions they make as a temporary being. Is that okay so far? I mean, is that clear so far? I don't know whether you like it or not. Is that clear what I'm saying?
There was just a little bit there.
Yep.
That you said by when they eternalized, they became aware that they existed before. Did you say that?
A loner self seems to have the ability to regenerate itself. It regenerates itself by making every choice. One of the ways it regenerates itself is making every choice and then doing only those choices that it would be willing to live forever and ever. In other words, only the things that it would do eternally. In doing only the things that it would do eternally, those actions, the body reacts to those actions, those actions that it would do eternally. The DNA reacts to those eternal actions, and when a new cell is created, it is, the way I say it, or see it anyway, it's imprinted with those eternal actions. The DNA of that cell is awakened to different way of functioning than the original pattern that his parents gave it. It's imprinted with the eternal choices, the eternal, in a sense, self, the eternal self that this loner being would be and live forever and ever.
And so there is no suggestion that up into your laying it out at the moment that the self that's never existed before.
Yeah, the self has never existed before.
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
No, that's what I was getting at. Yep.
Okay. Now, as it lives the actions that it would do eternally, and as it body reacts to those reactions, or reacts to those actions, and as the DNA reacts to those actions, and as it, you know, enlivens new parts and aspects of the DNA, that each cell is replaced, then over a period of time, the body itself is regenerated. The same DNA, I guess, is operating differently. It's operating with the eternal information, and so the self that body is, what I want to call it, the self that is, I can't think of it. But anyway, emergence from that body is an eternal self. And that eternal self has a different quality of awareness. It is aware of having continued, because it's aware of living the things it would do eternally. It somehow, I guess I haven't really realized worked this all out, but it has an awareness that it continues, and it has continued. That awareness is what we call a regenerated loner self, which now we can say is an eternal being, because it's living like as if it was an eternal being.
As though.
It just has, it has the awareness as though it continues.
And did you say became aware of it has continued?
I'm going to say as if, just to keep it super simple for my little mind, I'm just saying in my story, it's an as if it has lived before. Is that okay for just a moment, for this first pass
I'm
over
just
like the framework?
Whether you said that, that's all.
Yep, that's all I mean to say.
Okay.
Okay, time goes on, and that eternal self, that eternal being, the loner self that's living with an eternal awareness, dies. The body dies, decomposes and dies. No matter how eternal it perceived itself to be, no matter how forever its actions were, it dies just the same as every loner self. It's gone and has left just as much of a past impression in the memory of the universe as any other loner being, and it's gone, dead. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
End of the story for that. Life goes on, though, in the universe. In the universe, some other time, maybe someday, if certain conditions exist, another set of parents give birth to another brand new, unconnected being that has never existed in the universe before. It's a loner being. It's in a body. And it's brand new from new DNA combination that has never existed before. has the new awareness of a self, a loner self, that has never existed before. Okay? It is not a continuance, a recurrence, a rebirth, or a reemergence of any being has ever lived prior. And it lives its own damn life, free and clear, no past connections, obligations, responsibilities, karma, doesn't have to continue anything, free and clear. Okay. At this point, I have always, for 3 years, kind of thought this sucks, right? Because I thought that, you know, I didn't want to die, I wanted to continue. And this in here picture for me had no real, I thought, continuing. Because whoever you are before is gone. And the new self, as it chooses, as it makes choices and decides what it would live forever and ever, might live in a way that's similar to what, you know, you had lived before. It might choose to reconnect with that previous self or identity that you were. It might not. It's free to, it's up to that new self. If it reconnects, if it lives similar to something you've lived before, then it has the awareness in its mind of continuing the identity that you were living. It seems as if it was living so much you, it's so reconnected or re-entangled with you, what you lived, that it's like as if that identity is that self is continuing.
Andrew?
Yeah?
Can you pause for a second, roll it back a little bit? There was a bunch of ifs that you went into that set the situation up as this new loner being carries on its life. Can you go through?
Sure. A brand new loner being in the universe is free and clear. It doesn't have, it's its own self, and it doesn't have to continue anything. If, as it makes its choices, if as it chooses things that it would live eternally, and somehow those actions are like, I'm sorry, I'm not very clear about how this would work, but just for the simplicity of it, entangle this new being with the memory that you left in the universe, it's living those things it would do eternally and starts to feel like, wow, I've done this before. If it chooses to live in that way, then it, in a sense, might reconnect with you or re-entangle with what you, it might entangle with what, or connect with what you were doing. And live on and thinking like, wow, I've done this before, and it might feel as if it has done this before. It feels as if it is continuing.
Okay.
It's not continuing, but it feels it has the perception and the awareness that, damn, I'm continuing. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if this new being is not aware of continuing, it's not eternal. It's just a brand new loner being. And it's not living life in any way it would continue, and the body is not reacting eternal, and the universe that it's living in is not reacting eternal. Just loner. But if it is living things it would live eternally, this brand new self, loner self, lives in awareness of continuing, then it perceives itself as continuing. And as I said before, it acts as if it's eternal. The body, the self, the DNA pattern, the universe itself all reacts and live in a life that's eternal. Living with that awareness, actually living with that awareness and the actions that you would do eternal, that's what we call an eternal self. And the universe reacts, reacts to that eternal self, and all kind of things that I don't even know about are experienced by that eternal being. That being living eternally.
So, Andrew.
Yep.
The first iteration of a loner being that one day decided to start living in an eternal way, as they do that, and as that individual regenerated its loner body, would that individual begin to develop the sense that it had lived before?
I'm assuming yes.
Okay.
I don't know what it, you know. Now, you mean the original. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you've gone through two iterations. You started with a loner being that never existed before.
Yeah.
It lived in undertook actions in an eternal way, died, and then you had a second iteration of another loner being that had never existed before.
Yeah.
So if the condition that you described for the second one, in which in living as an eternal being by acting and actioning only that which it would be prepared to do eternally, became aware that it was some stuff was familiar.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I haven't really gone over to polish this out, so I appreciate your questions to make it more sensible. So what to me is that I'm seeing here, at least in the story I presented, is that a self that has an awareness of continuing is aware of continuing even though it's discontinuous. Eternal is discontinuous. The awareness of continuing is in fact discontinuous. There are separate things that pick it up and live it. Okay? It doesn't seem to be discontinuous, though, depending on your awareness. If your awareness is of that you are continuing, then you are aware of continuing even though eternal is discontinuous. Eternal is only discontinuous if you're not aware of continuing. But if you are aware of continuing, then even the discontinuous seems to continue.
But you say it only seems to continue to be continuous.
Well, just for the first pass, right? Just to get this across and not lose that thread of discontinuous, I am saying it that way. We're going to go back and look at it maybe a little bit different later. Because the fact of the matter is, what I'm saying is, for that individual living the things that would be and live and do eternally, then that discontinuous is a non-issue. If you're aware of continuing, then regardless of whether you are discontinuous in how you function, for you, you're continuous. And the discontinuousness of life doesn't interfere, for all intents and purposes, with your aware, full identity of being continuing. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I follow.
So, where I put this down then is that then self is really an identity. The only thing that persists in the universe for me or for anybody or for that loner being that's living eternally is if it persists in your mind that you're continuing. The continuing of the identity through a discontinuous process in the universe is just what I wanted to get across. So you can say that you're eternal, but not continuous. You can be discontinuous, and eternal then is the awareness of continuing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I brought up the movie, the Oblivion movie, Tom Cruise, because to me I was thinking maybe cloning is a better model here for what at least I've been thinking about than a continuing self. Okay? Because when a being is born into the universe, 10, 20, 50 years from now, 50, 40 years from now, whatever, years from now, we're not talking about Patrick, Simone, Roger, Misty, Andrew, Karen, anybody. We're not talking about that person. You know, I think where it got confusing to me is when various, all of us keep putting the word it, but you begin anew in there. And that always messes me up because I think when we use the word you, then I think of you personal. And what I'd like to do is, I think that it made some sense to me anyway, whether I'm wrong or not, but to take it out of me personal and just say, like a thingy self, a stem self. A new self is in the universe, uncommitted. except for the DNA, enough DNA structure to hold the thing together as a physical entity in life. But like when you look at these cloning movies, it's a blank self, and if you fill it with the memories of the other person, then by God, that person is continuing with all the memories as if it was the same person. And what's continuing there is not the physical body and not even the self that the DNA created, but the identity that being is aware of living. Does that follow for anybody?
Could you repeat it quick? Because I was falling off the line.
Oh, okay, sure.
Only the last part.
Oh, we don't know where the last part was where you fell off the line. I'll start here. I'll say a new beginning. A new being begins in the universe, okay? It's not a Simone. It's not an Andrew. It's not a Roger. It's anybody. It's an uncommitted stem cell, kind of like in a movie about cloning, okay?
Yep.
It's a body that holds together, but the identity is waiting to be given. And as soon as it takes on an identity, it lives that self as if it has always continued, didn't miss a beat.
Okay.
And the identity is continuing, though the body didn't. The self and the DNA didn't. But the identity that thing is living feels like it's continuing. Okay?
Okay.
So it's kind of like saying if we have we use this example, sometimes we have a Sally in the universe, a new Sally, but she has the ability to reconstruct herself as Simone. Then as she reconstructs herself and truly lives as Simone, then she is Simone by every measure. And as far as Sally Simone knows, that Sally Simone is absolutely Simone and can say, damn, it seems like I'm continuing. I'm aware of this identity of Simone continuing.
Yeah, okay. I did certain actions before as Sally.
You did what?
I did certain actions before as Sally.
Wait, say that one more time because I think that's important.
I do certain actions again. I have the awareness of having done it already. As Sally, maybe, but I don't know that it was Sally.
Okay. So it was a different person, but for you, for all intents and purposes, as far as you're concerned, that was you.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yes, I can follow.
Okay. All right, I think that's, for me, enough of like the idea of, and I'm sure I have said some things wrong. At least they're not what Roger's been saying. But I just keep hearing, and I was struggling for 3 years since 2013 and more maybe, I've been struggling to force the idea of a continuing self down on whatever, you know, force any information in my life down onto the foundation of a continuing self, of the belief of a continuing self. Maybe it doesn't fit. And you know, maybe, because I continue my, regardless of what I experience of myself as eternal or immortal or going on after death, that's only my beliefs. You know, beliefs determine your experiences. That doesn't mean that that's what's going on. And I guess what I would look forward to at this point is, you know, if we're talking not forever living anymore, we're talking emergent life, then if in emergent everything is new, okay, then how does that change things for us? What advantages are there over the traditional stuff we've been living? How does it help to expand my life by being a discontinuous being that has or can have the awareness of continuing? Okay, that's it. You guys tear it up.
Well, I should offer something here that I agree with the pattern. What you've laid out, that fits for me. But one of my thinkings about that pattern is that the the eternal pattern created or lived by an individual as they regenerate their loner body will be more particular if, as Roger's been telling us, it, the individual has a jest and an emprise. Simply living all things and actioning all things that, as an eternal being and living in that you would be prepared or would be prepared to live eternally is reasonably general, and it mm-hmm. might be hard to consider another life that pattern could be identified or entangled, but with a jest and an emprise, it's reasonably particular, and it's easier for me to consider that another life, a beginner life at some other point in time, who begins to regenerate their loner body, it's easier to hook into or sense a previous jest and a previous emprise, rather than just the general everything is done in an eternal way.
Well, and let's say that I probably agree with you. I guess all I was trying to do with this skeletal overview is just get across the idea of discontinuous, that is not a self that goes on, but the awareness. And I didn't, yeah, you're right, I left out all that stuff you're talking about. I left out recurring. I left out the difference between you and self. I left out the loner self, eternal self, abiding. So I left out all those selves. I just thought that if we could get on the page of discontinuous, but with an awareness of eternal, then maybe we could advance.
Okay.
Yeah?
You've done an admirable job, Andrew.
Okay. Well, because Roger stopped me last week because he said I was saying some things that would mislead people, and he didn't want that on the, you know, out there on the table. And I listened back. I mean, I think I know what part that was, but anyway, maybe we can deal with that now. I just didn't want to deal with it as a first pass. Okay, I'm done.
So to me, actually, you used an other picture as we used last week. We also said that it's always a loner self,
mm-hmm.
and that the immortality begins with the awareness of continuing. But we did add that an emprise or a chest would be helpful.
Yeah, but I just left that out just to get across, get the idea of I just, you know, I mean, I heard some of the conversation last week. I heard myself doing that before, just trying to force, okay, where do I continue into this conversation, into this model? And I personally wasn't hearing it that fit.
I also heard last week, I think it was from Misty, that all what you said now is like the film strip. And each life is a frame, and memory is the glue in between. And
mm-hmm.
that also fits for me.
The reason
but
I
each film strip is each frame is new. It only seems to be continuous.
The reason that didn't fit for me was because there's a long continuing film strip, and I was trying to take maybe slides that
mm-hmm.
are completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's an easy model, at least in my past experience, that was an easy model for me to grab onto and say, oh yeah, there's my continuing self. And just trying to pry myself and maybe anybody else off of that, just so
mm-hmm.
we can look at what might be going on here or what we mm-hmm. might be able to do with this idea.
See, there's another benefit, or is it not an, well, I don't know if it's another benefit, but there are benefits from what you described. And that is that being discontinuous, that things like karma cannot exist and carry over. Is that not correct?
Well, sure, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
That nothing actually nothing carries on except that which you want to carry on.
Well, especially things like karma that don't exist anyway.
Oh yeah, but this model makes it explicit.
There's You're no not going to be punished in the afterlife for anything you did.
No judgment.
Can there be any awareness of continuing without continuing?
What was that, Roger?
I said, can you be aware of continuing without continuing?
That's exactly what I was trying to get across today.
But you keep using aware of continuing as if you avoid the question. How can you have aware of continuing without continuing?
I'm not sure I worked all that out. I don't know.
Darwin
right?
didn't have his all worked out either, so that's okay.
Well, I just remember back when we talked about the data information of the universe, the data bumping into A and B, bumping into each other, and A can be aware of, you know, Z, W, and G that it has never directly experienced, but it's aware of it just the same. I took it as a discontinuous awareness that functions.
But if there is no
continuing awareness,
then how does it get awareness of continuing?
I like the film, like inference.
Can we imply in there that a desire to continue works just as well?
I think that's actually pretty nifty.
The desire. Okay. Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah, because, I mean, I've done past life regressions, and those were lives of people I didn't know, but I guess I had a desire to say, oh, yeah, that was me continuing, and I took that on, and by gosh, my image or my memory of my life got much longer.
So the desire is enough? That would be great. Well,
Roger suggests it helps.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that alone cuts through one of the flaws. You don't have to continue. Mm-hmm. It can just be the desire to continue. It'll be strong enough.
Interesting. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, can you repeat that? It didn't come through very clear on this end.
What I thought I heard Roger say was one of the things that cuts through the flaws is just the desire to continue would be strong enough.
To be an awareness of continuing, although there is no awareness of continuing. Language-wise, awareness of continuing would seem to mean you would have to continue. But if a desire to continue works just as well, then it doesn't have to continue. It's just a desire for that.
Mm-hmm.
If I act upon that desire.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that would put me, if you want to call it, in sync with a lot of other beings that have lived before that want to continue.
Is it possible? How do I ask this question? Is it possible that in successive iterations of individuals who have the desire to be continuous, that over that excessive group of lives, that desire is strong, that it almost equates, or maybe it equates to a continuous identity or continuous self?
Are you saying continuous on purpose rather than continuing?
I haven't thought about it enough to make that distinction, Andrew.
And it gets a little crazy, but I think about that distinction all the time. Because continuous, to me, means a single, continuous, like, thing. Continuing can be discontinuous. Yeah. Like, maybe the bits of data that are coming over the phone right now are discontinuous.
Let's assume that you
make that. As I listen to them. What's that?
Let's assume you make that distinction. Can't continuing then be called recurring? And that's all I've said from the get-go. And you just bring up recurring as a different definition and object to it. Now, you're saying continuing.
Well Roger.
You give continuing a definition that is the same as recurring.
I don't know. Recurring has been a problem one for me. Especially when we put the word you in it, that just boggles it up for me. I found it interesting. I went looking for definitions of continuing. recurring, though. And I noticed that, honestly, the majority of them have recur and reoccur under the category of synonyms. And they're basically treating them as synonyms. But I did find one that I thought was interesting, which said, in the Cambridge Dictionary, which said, to happen again, all right, that's reoccurring, or to happen many times. I thought that one made sense. To happen many times.
For recurring.
Recur. In other words, because I take to happen many times, it could be a brand new self each time. But it is, ta-da, for all intents and purposes, the same. So, yeah, Roger, I guess I kind of didn't see that I was talking about continuing, like, of disconnected pieces, but I can put them all together. I didn't see that as the same as recurring. I got to work on that one still.
That's why I said you don't see it the same as recurring, because you keep always you'll say recurring, but you think reoccurring.
Well, let me ask you this important question. See, I'm perfectly okay at present state with never mentioning the word recurring again, because I find it confounding. But what are the advantages that you feel we should keep it in for?
Continuing drifts into continuous and eternal. And so I'm trying to get a word that we can use, that we can agree on, that means discontinuous. That's what I said from the get-go, recurring.
Okay.
Is discontinuous. And that's why I say it's not reoccurring.
Yeah. You know, what was interesting to me is just thinking about the idea that an identity is not limited to a single self. An identity can be comprised of many selves.
But the point of it all this is, no matter what you say, everybody only thinks and only wants continuing.
That's why, Roger. So my approach was just to take it where I did and leave it, because what I think would be good is if we can at least maintain the picture of what if there is a discontinuous, eternal is a discontinuous, and eternal is an awareness. If we could just kind of go there, could we talk about more about, like, now what we can do with this thing that would be more desirable than continuous? Because Because you're right. People are stuck on that, and until you give them something that they would desire more, I think it's going to be not impossible, damn hard to change minds.
Andrew, can we go back a little bit and can you tell me what you think the difference is between continuing and continuous?
Oh, continuous is like the film strip with each little frame, but it's one film strip. I can hold all of it. Continuing would be like slides in a slide projector. Each one is an individual slide. I can put it in or take it out. It's not connected to the other slides, but when I view it in succession, I can see the images.
Uh-huh.
As far as I'm concerned, the light on the wall, what's that?
How do either one of those terms relate, as far as you're concerned, to recurring?
Oh, I don't. I'm not going there. I left out recurring, and I would leave it out, just because I'm confused by it. But that's what I'm asking Rogers, is if it serves an important function, that damn well better keep it in.
I think it serves an important function.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem to be working with other people, so I guess not. You can't get continuing and continuous out of people's head. Life after death. Everlasting life. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing they think of. And the only thing
What helped me, Roger, I don't know, whether I am on track on your page or not, I don't know, but what got this cooking for me, this whole thing, was the idea of, okay, yeah, discontinuous cells and bodies that live and die, but an awareness of continuing. I can somehow grasp that. It doesn't mean it is continuing, but hey, for all intents and purposes, if you're aware of continuing.
But you're relying on the distortion of the word awareness.
I'm not aware of that. How so?
Well, because you're saying awareness without occurring, and I'm saying that's a distortion, language-wise.
Well, but we don't really concern with what language says, do we?
Yes. Because that's what we're arguing here right now.
Well, why'd you bring it up then?
You brought it up. You said you didn't want to discuss recurring. You want to discuss continuous and continuing. That's language.
Yeah, I know, right? They sound the same. They're homonyms. They sound the same, but they are different in what they are about.
I'm no expert because I can't get people off the idea of continuous. So don't treat me as an expert. I just tried my best in establishing words and using words in a way that we could get rid of that.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago when I was talking with you, I said, hey, do we have an experience we could put people through that they could get a sense of this and go, oh, okay, that's all it is? And I think you suggested that
if you put them as an experience through it, then they'll say then they do it.
Yeah, but I was just saying, I think, would this work? Does every moment replace the prior moment?
Everybody says yes, but they don't really mean that.
If every moment replaces the prior moment...
If a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass. That doesn't change anybody's opinion. Everybody would say, okay, fine, that's right. But they don't mean it.
So since every moment replaces the prior moment, then we just experienced it.
It doesn't make any difference. They don't mean it.
Well, and this is where you know, hey, an old idea in, you know, marketing is once a mind is made up, you can't really change it. You got to give it new information that will, hey, they'll take on a new idea.
But you can't give them new information that is better than continuing.
Well, let me ask you a question, Roger. We've been, in a sense, in my opinion, shipwrecked on this point for a long time now. if we could just get off of it for a minute, do you have anything else to say about this, you know, besides if we can get off the concern that you die, can we now talk about anything else that would be savory and interesting and desirable?
Well, what might be interesting to me is not necessarily interesting to you. And if that's the case, I assume that everybody has gotten the 56 pages we put in the Dropbox, right?
Yeah.
And there's a blank column on the right, so you can take every sentence that I've written and write questions, agree or disagree or whatever you want. So you can take and answer that question or argue with what is said so we can discuss it. That's the purpose of...
Okay.
That was the purpose of letting everybody read it early.
Yeah. I mean, my personal hope was that Forever Living doesn't end with this. Just, okay, thought there'd be something more once we can get past the concern about continuing.
But you're not getting past the concern about continuing. Because you're saying awareness of continuing is not continuing, it's just an awareness of continuing. So you didn't get past...
Hey, wait, I know, but, you know, I think about it, Andrew is just an identity. It's not, it's a composed identity even, but for me it's seemingly singular, whole, and real. So I guess I'm kind of okay with an awareness being, that, like, I want an awareness of continuing. I mean, whether, like, if I continue but I'm not aware of it, then it's meaningless. Awareness seems to be what I think the juice that people are looking for in their life. That's the meaning in life, is what you're aware of.
But like I asked you before, can you have an awareness of continuing without continuing? And if you say yes, I'm going to ask you how. And if you
now you see, you did. God damn it. Ugh. But what's messing me up about that question is, can... Well, maybe that is correct. You. It's the you word. I guess... Okay.
Can Andrew...
I have worked very hard for the first part of tonight to establish clearly that the I, the you that you're referring to, the personal I that I take to mean when you say you, doesn't continue. Then to say that you continue puts me, that personal I, back in the equation. That has been for 3 years the big problem.
Well, that's a problem with you, but not with me.
Because if I use it, you're just going to go back and say, no, you don't. You die. You don't continue. Now
because
what?
Because it's the way you use it. And where you use it. Changes everything.
Then I guess it would be helpful if we could then parse out what yous there are, what identities of you there are. So that I know which one we're talking about.
I'm using it only to tell you that I'm talking to you. That's the only purpose of it.
And are you saying that the experience of continuing is in itself continuing? The continuing itself?
I said, can you have an experience or an awareness of continuing without continuing? I don't think so.
According to what? Okay, I think so.
Whether that's language or otherwise, I don't think so.
Well, because if everything is a discontinuous stream of things, then it appears to continue, but it's not in fact continuing. Or are you saying that that's the great mystery here of language, is it is in fact continuing?
Well... You've stepped into quantum physics now. Max Planck said that all energy, meaning light and all other energies, comes in small quanta.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
That's what you would say then is discontinuous, but it seems continuous.
Uh-huh.
So you step back into quantum physics.
So why can't I say in form and in occurrence it is discontinuous, but in life and in awareness, in living and in awareness, it is continuous?
You can say that.
I seem to inhabit a physical body and life, but I don't seem to relate self completely with that physical body and life.
Didn't say you
I
should.
I seem to relate more to what I can conceive of.
That's why I asked whether what you want would work as well.
Oh, whether desire is enough?
Yeah. If you act upon the desire. You act upon the desire by living as if.
That's right. I think I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's what I've said all along. I may not have said it well, but that's what I've said.
Okay.
What brings it to the foreground now that makes it understandable?
Oh, okay. Before, every time the term was used, eternal self, I thought we were talking about an actual self residing in my body or in awareness.
But that's what you misthought.
Roger, the word self was, that's what I thought.
Why can't self as far be, as I'm concerned, why can't self or identity be discontinuous? Like every moment, or like every quanta of light.
Wait.
Every quanta of light
tonight,
is discontinuous.
Yeah, right. Tonight I'm agreeing with that.
Finally?
Well, wait, though, but you've asked this question then, can you have the experience of continuing without continuing in fact? And if I have a self that's discontinuous in fact...
But you just change it when you use it in a sentence that way.
It's brand new to me. What did I say?
How can you have an experience or an awareness of continuing without continuing? That's all I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you take it out of language, you still continue in that sentence structure. Well, anyway, start reading and tell me if it makes a difference to what you're reading.
What was that?
I said, start reading 55 pages and tell me whether this has any impact upon what you're reading and what you're understanding. If it is, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got a problem also of the use of the word eternal.
Why?
Because eternal implies continuing.
Yeah, right. Eternal always, to me, had up to now meant a thing that persists, like a body and a self that persists after the body is gone.
Okay.
Okay, but you know, in fact, I think eternal works for me better, more easy to conceive of as an awareness that truly exists in the universe. I mean, you can have that awareness. You can access it anytime you want to.
I ask you the same question over again. How can you have an awareness or an experience of something unless you've had that experience and that awareness?
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Please do. you're just using awareness to deny facts. To say I can have an awareness without it occurring.
Well, I'm just very cautious of then going into using the word continuing again and have us get all bollocked up in the but you don't continue thing.
Well, yeah. I don't get bollocked up. You guys won't leave continuing alone.
Well, yeah, right. Well, I figure if I could just hang with my current explanation for a while, maybe it won't be such a problem later.
That's fine. I understand what you're saying, but I say you're just creating a distortion that could be just as much of a
Roger,
problem.
How would you how would you explain the actual fact of continuing when everything we see shows discontinuous?
I think the answer is I have no freaking idea.
Well, that's great. I'm okay with that. But why push that on me?
Because you're substituting words. You're objecting to my words, which is fine. And substituting words that I say cause or create a bigger problem.
And what word do you then propose putting back that resolves?
Nothing. I don't propose putting another word back in there. I don't know. If I knew, I would have put it in there in the first place.
Okay. We're just talking here.
I did my best with recurring.
It's okay. All right.
No, it doesn't seem to be all right.
It's okay with me that you did your best.
And I use recurring in the book. If that's not what you want to use, then is that what you want to say? Then tell me what you would rather say. It's remember, like at the beginning of the book, I gave everybody a chance to tell me what you wanted to say in the book. It was about the center.
Yeah.
And I got no response, so I wrote what I wanted to write.
Okay, well, I have to read it and think about that.
Well, I don't think you'll clarify anything in reading it.
All right.
You'll just skip right over it again, as usual. You'll still only think continuing where you want to. Where I say you're eternal, you'll only think continuing.
Wait. Continuing or continuous?
Either or. I don't really care.
Oh, so you actually have a problem with continuing, too?
No.
Oh, okay.
You'll just think in either case those words mean ongoing. And if I use the word eternal, you think it's ongoing. I don't know. I used the words the best I could. If you can come up with a better set of words anywhere in there, you mark them down in the comments column and we'll discuss them either on Monday or at the gathering. I'm willing to change words, a set of words.
Okay.
What I was trying to do is overcome death. Ooh, and that's a problem. You still haven't overcome death.
Right.
So then the problems of life and death continue.
That's a good point.
Who's frying bacon?
Can you smell it?
Oh. Somebody's peeing.
It's either a cow peeing on a rock or somebody's frying bacon.
Not here.
It's not here.
Definitely not here. So you were trying to take death out of the image.
I'm trying to take death out of life.
Yeah, right.
But if you're discontinuous, you put death back in.
I know. And I know that's exactly what I did.
So you're still letting death drive life rather than life drive life.
Yeah, right. Here's my idea, Roger. I thought maybe if going over it the way I did would break the hold people have or trying to fit continuous onto the what you're saying. If they could just break them free of that, then let's take another pass and flesh it out maybe differently or...
Okay, well, all I'm suggesting is everybody think about it.
Yeah, agree.
And maybe if you think about it and then read and make the comments on every line, maybe that someone will make a comment that will just be give us the right word or the right way of expressing what we're talking about here.
Okay.
I wasn't so interested in continuing. I was more interested in overcoming death.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a question. When you have, you know, bodies that fall and don't move again and decompose, what is that then?
When you have what?
When you have a world full of bodies, people are people in bodies, and the bodies fall and don't move and decompose.
But there's no...
What do we...
No self in that.
Yeah, there's no self in that. Right.
But as long as we combine you, meaning self and a body, and you perceive that a body that has lost itself, then self is dead with the body. And I was trying to avoid that or end that issue. If I didn't do it right, then please somebody find a way to do that. Because driving life by death or overcoming everything by death is ridiculous.
No.
Mm-hmm. Interesting point. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, probably in the way the story I told tonight, probably the thing that's going to be most discouraging to people is the very prevalent presence of death in that image.
That's right.
Death as the discontinuer.
That's right.
And I agree. I mean, I've been grieving in a sense over this for a number of years since, you know, this has come up 3 years now. It's like, yeah, it doesn't get me up excited in the morning to think of not, you know, being continuous. Or at least it hasn't up till now. There is a neat idea that's starting to form, I have to say. I have a hard time expressing it, but it is intriguing. Yeah, up to now, it's definitely not.
So what's this idea? What gets you up in the morning?
No, nothing. Hey, continuous and eternal always got me up excited in the morning. We could talk about that. We could know that. We could live that directly. That was damn exciting. And I would, you know, go out and talk to people about that. I had certainly not all the answers, no way to really talk about it well. What the image of discontinuous continuing or discontinuous eternal seems to give me is something I never thought of before, which is that in a brand new body, like a stem cell, or for just for the sake of getting an image in there, like a clone, that's a body but no self in there yet, that self, like a stem cell, it's got enough structure to keep it alive, but it can take on any identity it wants and live that, and the perception it has is, damn, here I am again. Somehow, some way. There's a certain dynamicness in that that's more expansive. It expands my thinking more than, like, okay, here's the same self back again with the same old karma and the same old problems and the same old things I got to learn lessons and overcome, you know?
And that's the same as when I asked you to create a self, a past that you truly desire and live that.
It is. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
All right. Yeah.
See, and I guess the thing that, like, that, yeah, right, that would be interesting is to start being able to talk about the, I don't know, the surprising experiences that you have doing that. And I haven't been practicing it enough.
What?
Been too confused, I guess.
Why isn't desire to live a past you desire, isn't that strong enough?
You know, Roger, it's an interesting question because I find that I'm still future focused, and that's consequences, and that's a problem.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that's true, but that's because you're involved in cause and effect, and I'm thinking, and the universe is thinking, only emergent. You don't take your focus off of the right now, past.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All the constituents are past.
Yes.
But you're trying, you're operating in cause and effect, and I agree with that. But I'm trying to stay out of cause and effect and into emergent. And that's why this is called emergent life. Because you're not focused on the consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, ironically, emergent life, I was using the word emergent, I was always focused on, oh, what's going to be emergent?
Then you've destroyed emergent and substituted cause and effect.
Yeah, which is why when I talk about it, I was always saying I'm living constituently. Because then that personally keeps me focusing on the constituents.
Well, that's the same thing as using emergent.
Yeah.
But you don't say that because too often that's too awkward to say. So you switch back into cause and effect without realizing it.
What's too awkward? What's too awkward?
Living constituently.
Yes, that's right.
It's a difficult construct to put into a sentence all the time.
Yeah.
So you slip into cause and effect.
So, Andrew,
I'm trying to give you a set of words in all of this sort of stuff that is not difficult to use.
Yes.
So if I didn't succeed, I didn't succeed. It's okay.
That Patrick?
You have an answer for this, Andrew. I can live constituently right up until the moment this body gives up. Then what?
I don't know the answer to that. I suggested at the beginning of tonight that I just, for my own sake, I said, okay, forever living is over. You know, we're not talking about living forever anymore. We're talking about living emergent. You got this to deal with, and you got, as far as you know, this to deal with only. I mean, if life continues, then it doesn't matter. And if it doesn't continue, then it really doesn't matter.
Have we effectively dealt with or removed taking death out of the equation?
No, I haven't. I haven't succeeded in doing that, no.
So we've spoken at other times about these lives of ours being episodes of a continuing saga.
Yes. I guess the saga is perceived in the past.
And then so it's all up to the perceiver to know that they are, he or she is involved in writing.
When I use the word eternal self in the book, what are we talking about? In Andrew's construct.
We're talking about a new being that's living the awareness of continuing. In the past, they have an awareness of a past.
See, now I'll go along with you when you say awareness of a past, more likely than I will with awareness of continuing.
That's an interesting point. Because you're right, I'm usually thinking of continuing as future-faced. But as we're talking about it in this little minute or two here, like when Patrick said, you know, ongoing saga, I was just thinking, what if I looked at the saga like I'm at the cutting edge of the past and I look back and I see the saga? There's no saga apparently forward, perceivable forward, but looking back, there it is, lo and behold.
It hasn't been written yet, right?
Yes.
And you can only be aware of it as a past. Now, maybe kind of beings we are can conceive of if it's past, and therefore I can imagine a future, but it's not perceivable. That future is not perceivable, only imaginable.
And we say that if I'm living constituently, is that the term?
Yeah. Living only with the actions.
Too bad we don't have Denise here to solve all our problems.
As I desire, we can be confident that what is emergent will be as I desire.
Well, what's interesting about living... See, you just... That's interesting, Patrick. You just did exactly what I always do. If I live these actions, then what will be emergent will be as I desire. And I think that when I started using the word constituently, I was finding that I live this action right now, and this action I find, like, for example, empowering. There's a flush of energy that picks me up. It's like, wow, I'm living this right now, and I'm not even thinking about what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Living constituently is this word to you right now, and the next word, and then being silent, you know. It's each action, and then each action is, it really is like it cleanses my windshield, you know, everything is clearer, I feel energized, I feel like I actually know what I'm doing at this moment, but I forget it way often thinking about, anytime I think
about
the next
thing. Just
because you
say you're not thinking of the future doesn't mean you're not thinking of the future.
But I'm just saying, Roger, when I focus, when I ask myself the action I'm willing to do, I just say for that moment, I'm just making that choice. That's all.
That's right. That's the point of emergent.
Yeah.
You're only living the constituent. And that's what is important.
And when I stop and think about the future, I stop and reflect on the emergent properties. I'm not living constituently at that moment. I may be living reflectively or judgmentally even, but I just feel like when I'm living the action, then I'm pretty clear I'm living just that action. That's my focus.
Yeah, but you're living causes.
How so?
Because you only think causes and what the effects are going to be.
Maybe, sir, but when I'm talking in this sentence right now, the only thing that matters to me is, am I proud of what I'm saying to you right now? You might yell at me, but am I proud of this word I'm saying right now?
Yeah, but then am I proud of the way you're using it is not the way I'm using it.
How are you using it?
Are you proud of each word that you say?
That's exactly
you're thinking of it as
about.
as a proud of the consequences of what you just said. Are you proud of the information you gave or the way
that's
you put it together?
That's what I'm talking about.
What?
That's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about.
But that's a big error.
That I'm proud of the information?
Yes.
That's an error.
Yes.
How so?
Because the information is the conclusion of the words in the form that they take. So you're still focused on the conclusion or the effect.
What? How could you? Okay, what are you doing that's different?
I say, are you proud of each word?
Right.
Each word separately, not joined together to create information to be proud of.
Okay.
That's an action. You do your actions one at a time.
All right.
If you're thinking
so
of
each word is a constituent?
Each word is a constituent? Yes.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay, yes, me too. When you say it like this. Oh.
I got a question. When you're writing a passage, Roger, do you ever look at the passage after you've written it and say, does that passage say what I wanted to say?
I write every declaration. I ask that question. And every passage, yes, of course.
And is it possible to consider whether or not you are proud of the declaration that you've just
That's
written?
That's not an issue. It's did I say what I wanted to say?
Is that a conclusion?
No.
That's not a consequence. It's an interesting idea, though, that I would choose each word that I'm individually proud of and look back at it and think that somehow I didn't say exactly what I wanted to say.
That's for writing declarations that way. So you can break it down into each declaration, and from that down into each word. You don't know how many times I edit these things. Ms. M will tell you, I change a word constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And when I change a word, that's just changing a constituent.
Thank you.
is a check on my understanding here. When you're looking at a passage and deciding whether or not it says what you want it to say, that is narrowly to what you want it to say, not what Andrew or Pat or Karen might get out of it.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm only interested in if it said what I wanted to say.
That has to be, to me.
I'm like Donald Trump. I want to say what I want to say.
And we gotta wait till July? Never mind. Okay.
What?
Well, until the nominations are finished.
What? Both conventions are essentially set, except for certain items. But as far as the nominee is concerned, Hillary versus Trump. And then the wild card in there is Bernie Sanders. But he's not a nominee anymore. He's just... he can involve himself in the Democratic platform.
Andrew, I wanted to say am I ever pleased with how you conducted yourself tonight?
Well, why is that?
Well, you were thoughtful. You were you expressed clearly. You were willing to discuss and debate. Argument. You were inspiring. I liked it. Thank you.
Oh, well, thanks. I think my interest is, almost like I just want to let's all get on the same page and see what we can do now. I don't know. I told Roger on Sunday, I don't know if it's been beat out of me, so I don't care if I continue or not, or if I feel more confident now that somehow, I can't really explain it, but that there's, I don't know what, a sense of my, of possibilities that I never even conceived of before. But I'm just not as, I don't know what it is. But I was sincerely hoping that if we could get everybody going, oh yeah, yeah, that's it, oh, I understand that, oh yeah, no, discontinue, oh yeah, that, then we could actually move on to something that goes, wow, this is really neat. Then we got something that I think new folks could grab onto and, you know, want to take on new ideas, want to let go of their ideas of a God, death, run universe. But I just can't imagine, seriously, I can't imagine that folks are going to grab onto this without something that offers them more than continuing.
I don't agree.
All right. Do tell.
They will bastardize it to mean continuing.
Oh, that's not what I said.
I didn't say you said it. You hoped otherwise, and I said I doubt it.
No, you changed. Oh, you disagreed that they're going to accept it.
That's right. They're going to bastardize it to continuing. And still think continuing.
Are you proud of that, Roger?
What?
Wait, time out. Are you proud of those words, Roger?
Am I trying to make what?
Are you proud of those words?
Yes.
You want to bring everybody to new understanding and then tell them they can't do it? That's what this is?
But you're now saying I have to use your understanding? I'm just questioning.
What? No, I didn't say that.
I'm just questioning the flaws in your combinations. That when you get all through with that, they will still only think or deal with continuing. The everlasting life.
You know, and I'll tell you, Roger, as long as we stay stationed on death and continuing, as long as we don't talk about anything else new, broader, more expansive, more interesting, yeah, I don't think they have any reason to give it up. It was their security blanket. Give them something else to be excited or secure about. Maybe so. Maybe we got a chance. Maybe I have a chance.
Give them continuing or everlasting life in a different form.
Great. And then how that changes things. How does that make life more, you know,
I don't know. You have to decide on the form first.
What's that? What they have to do first?
We have to decide on the form. I said give them a new form of everlasting life and continuing.
Okay.
And you have to, I can't answer the question until you know what the new form is.
Have you decided what the new form might be?
Yeah, but it's the same old form I've always had. It's not new. But it's expressed in the book. But does anybody understand it? No. How does a vast self come into here in all this? Anything?
I left all those pieces out of it. Yeah, I didn't. And by vast self, or does this mean like a vast identity?
Yes.
And does that vast identity mean like an awareness of being much more expansive than my individual Andrew self? My Andrew identity?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, really?
Your vast self matters. Andrew can die away and not matter. If you're living your vast self, not trying to continue Andrew, if you're living your vast self, can your vast self continue?
I don't think my vast self dies.
Huh? Uh-huh.
Maybe my vast self doesn't die.
That's what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a vast self that you can live that doesn't die.
Well, so here's an interesting thing, Roger, that I'm kind of starting to, I don't know. This is an idea that's slowly percolating into my brain. Or my awareness is I've always lived the effort to try to continue Andrew as an individual. And then I got this, an idea that, okay, emergent life is not talking about living forever. It's just my idea. I'm not saying it's what you're saying. It's just my idea. Emergent life gets me focused on, gets everybody focused on this lifetime and living constituents. And in that, instead of having an image of a self ongoing with a long past and into the future, there's like an explosion of emergent properties that your life just expands, kind of like, you know, you once said it rained the universe. It'd be like pops and explosions of your, what you consider self just expand, and life, your perception of life expands in a way that you can't even hardly describe.
Well, what you're
That's
doing
my
is
idea
you're just giving
self.
Me conclusions. Effects.
I'm just, okay, all right. Just trying to talk about an image of that's different than my linear forward.
You're
or
giving
from
me
past
effects,
to future.
But what are the actions?
I think the actions we've talked about. Yeah, that's right. It's true. I guess I'm talking about the effects.
So you're still on to effects, cause and effect.
I admitted that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I admit that. Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you get off of that? Because that's a dead end street.
I guess it's like asking, Roger, how do I get to myself to caring only about this moment and no future?
Okay. How?
I have no idea. It doesn't seem to be exciting. I mean, going to have this moment and no future.
I didn't say and no future. What I was saying...
I did.
I know you did. You said it was... But that's what you do. You define something by putting some good in it and some bad in it, and then the bad overrides all the good of your definitions.
Mm.
Give me a definition without the bad in it.
A definition of living right now without a concept of future?
You say without a future.
Yes.
And that's the bad part of what you just said. So how do you...
Okay.
So how do you speak of that without the putting a bad in it?
Great question.
Well, those are all the things...
Oh, well, hang on. Maybe, yeah, right? Maybe.
Those are all the things that are come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, squirrels, but I'm about ready to go to bed.
You got company there.
Okay, guys. Well, thank
this
you for...
This is very awesome tonight, guys. Thank you.
Yes. Even if I mostly listen, but it was very inspiring debating and listen to debate, yes.
Well, maybe we'll do it again if any other guys come back.
Yeah.